I am your future.
Isn't it about time for a change?
We're our national leader.
AmericanWorkersRadio.com. You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
This has been the week of weeks. I'll tell you a lot about it during the broadcast. But first of all, I'm going to ask all of you to go to your telephone, contact family members and friends, and invite them to tune in here on 860. And of course, no matter where they live, they can tune in by going to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Live link. This morning coming in was an unbelievable experience. Every day it seems to get worse and worse and worse. You need to get in 2.5 hours in advance. The construction on all of these highways has turned like, wow, unbelievable. But somebody is going to be very happy with those roadways in the future. And of course, I'll be very happy with them because they drive me insane the way things are going now. But there's a lot of stuff we're going to talk about today that sort of lets us know about Big Brother. First of all, I have to tell you, Mark Andel is always a great, unbelievable person and does some beautiful things to promote America and American made. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks to Mark Andel, founder of the Made in America store, Larkin Conley, national small business advocate, Rich Logis, the principal of RJL Technology Integration, and of course, our engineer is Henry Chaplinsky. I'm Michael Blihash, always very happy to be with you. Yesterday, again, Mark Andel had his Made in America store proudly noted on the Wheel of Fortune. And as I was traveling in today, it was another call. People tell me, oh, I wanted to let you know, I saw Mark Andel had his logo on the Wheel of Fortune with Pat Sajak and Vanna White. I did see it. Luckily, yesterday was so unbelievable hot. Oh my God, 100 degrees in Philly was like, ooh la la, unbelievable. But anyways, I know Pat. I've met him once or twice. I know him because of his Polish side, 100% Polish. And of course, he's donated to some Polish causes too. So I'm glad that we are able to get some PR for you, Mark, and you for us, because people see it and they say, ah, call Blihash and make sure he knows about it. But there's never a dull day in world history. And that's certainly a fact in the United States of America. However, I would like to let you know that what you're hearing on the news media is only a part of what should be reported on the news media. The news media should be telling more of the things that people are doing. People like Mark Andel, people like Rich Logis, people like Larkin Conley, people who've done some very good and hard work over the years trying to promote this great country and our future. You don't hear that. And as I talk to people in the news media, they say, well, we have to be very cautious. Everybody is very cautious for their bottom line, is the sad part of this whole thing. No one wants to offend their advertiser. We're going to talk about a few things today, but before I go on, I can get a little bit of a minute to have a rest. I'm going to ask our great Mark Andel. Mark, how was the Erie County Fair?
Well, Mike, thanks for having us all together every week, and what you do. And Henry, again, getting us all connected and sounding good. But, Mike, I came out of the fair. It's 12 days. And if you do the whole fair, 8 o'clock to 10:30, for 12 days, it's 174 hours. I'm proud to say I did 164 hours, so I failed a hair, Mike. I didn't put the whole 174. But that's just a little break. And I stood outside on the black pavement with a black shirt and work boots on at my general welding display, as the Made in America was right next door in air conditioning. So I kept applying for an application to Made in America as a joke to my daughter, and she said, get back outside, Dad. So, Mike, what a run. You want to talk to a million-plus people. You know, I had all my carnival friends, the vendors, the James E. Strait, John Strait, Doug Dills from your Florida area, all these wonderful people. The number one thing I love to see is people out being normal. Little kids, when the fireworks went out at 9:30 every night, I told everybody, Mike, that's what I do it for, just to watch them fireworks, you know. And you could see them from my outside display. And but to see the kids' faces and the families having fun again and being normal again, our mask wasn't, our regulations weren't put into effect at the Erie County Fair, so we made it through without it. We had two of the most beautiful national-level displays. My team, Mike, I just can't say enough for. 6,000-square-foot Made in America store dropped in the middle of this fair, blew everything away, even the New York lottery. We were jammed shoulder to shoulder. And then I did a general welding display. I was going to have just six items and unmanned. Well, I had 41 items, and it was mark-manned. You know, I couldn't not man the display, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, we killed it with Made in America because of the movement, the thank yous, the respect, unbelievable. Very, very good show. It was a little different because they didn't have the $2 day, the $4 day, because you had to buy your tickets online. That hurt the fair, but we had a record Sunday set and broke all our records with Made in America. Sold 40-plus snowplows and trailers, and I talked to every customer myself because it was only me mainly. It was quite the test, Mike. You would have loved it. You would have done well with me. But, you know, talking to everybody, business owners, competition owners, stopped and talked to me. The number one problem in the country, the crisis, is worker shortage.
Absolutely.
We knew that, but number one. I talked to more people than most in 12 days. Nobody. There was James E. Strait, the carnival ride host, couldn't open rides because of no tenants. He said any rides he closes because we don't have the tenants to run them. The fair couldn't man the gates and accept the real tickets, physical tickets, because they didn't have the people. It's a national crisis. Every owner, basically the question, who replaces us? My core team, Mike, the 40 to 50 to 60-year-olds that are working their tail off. Who replaces us? Our core team is working harder than ever. And the new world team is getting free money, paid vacations, getting fat on their porches, drinking beer. You know, it's just such a – so number one I found in 12 days, again, talking to – there was a million-plus people there, worker shortage. Then the product shortage is just a crisis in itself too. We've got trailers we're trying to sell. You can't tell them the price. We got to tell them they're getting them in 12 months from CAM or CarMate. And we are having people put deposits on it on an unknown priced trailer that they're not going to get for 12 months minimum, which is just crazy, but they're doing it. You know, because they want to spend the money. They want to get the tax write-off. So number one, worker shortage. Then you got the rapid inflation, and then you got the product shortage. I don't care if it's not an R or a D thing. I made that very clear. This is everybody, Mike, talking about problems. And I bring that up because we don't really hear about that on TV. Now, you've got the Afghanistan nightmare mess, Vietnam, again, happening. I mean, you know, leadership, though, all this falls under leadership. And then you got Dr. Ferrucci, you know, I don't know what's going on. It's just a crazy world. But it was a very, very positive fair, Mike. We killed it. We did wonderful. But if we didn't, all the vendors didn't get together and do this fair, because half the vendors bailed. If we didn't do this fair this year, the Erie County Fair would not exist next year. But we said, you know what, we're going to try it. We're going to pull the trigger on it. And I had to do that myself a week before. I didn't pay the contract money until a week before. But we went for it. We had the weather. The people showed up. And my team needed a win. And it was great, Mike.
Let me ask you this, Mark. The people that came, I mean, you said that some of the vendors bailed from before.
Yes.
The people that came, I'm sure they were pleased with the participation that was there.
Yes, because what ends up happening, you have you know, maybe there was lighter days because of the no deal days. Like they used to have the opening Wednesday was $2 a day for Channel 2 here. $4 a day for, it was a Thursday. They didn't have them because you had just you had to go online and get your tickets. That was the number one problem because certain demographics aren't going online. Like my father's not going online for a ticket. You know, it just doesn't work for everyone. But no, people were there, but you get double the people and half the vendors. So if you only have five French fry stands instead of 20, the French fry stands that were there were 40 deep in lines.
Yeah.
They killed it.
Well, I'm happy to say that I'm seeing a little bit of that in the Philadelphia area, but nowhere near what it was, say, 3 years ago.
No, and the problem, Mike, it was annoying for people that were out there when you get 40 deep in line for a food or for a beer. It was actually the vendors got a comeback. When you run a certain size fair and you know what the traffic's going to be, you actually have to have enough vendors to satisfy your people and keep it pleasant when it's 95 degrees out. So, you know, we got through the fair. We pulled it off. Next year, hopefully it just gets better and better. But some of these shows, if they didn't happen, won't happen again because even James E. Straight, they went through last year. The carnival vendors that follow the Straight Show around, they start in Florida and they go on a seven-month run. They usually use a train, James E. Straight, to carry their equipment and their rides, but they didn't. They went over the road this year because they were broken up. The logistic trail from Florida for the 7 months was all broken up because of regulation, and some states were open, some states were closed. So everything was out of whack, but the worker shortage, Mike, has to be answered. This is incredible in the United States of America that you can't find enough workers to run shows, rides, your businesses. They gave this extra money away, but I think the people that took the paid vacation that didn't need it actually are going to be surprised when they try to go back to work and they put their business out of work.
Oh, definitely. Oh, Mark, I'm going to tell you, that is definitely the way it is. I've noticed here in historic Philadelphia, a lot of the little restaurants and all that were very vibrant for years and years. Now that tourism is down, now that they don't have any employees, the restaurants just decided to pull the plug.
Mike, and I'm seeing it left and right. And at the fair, again, I've talked to everybody, business owners, competition, every night, every day, CEOs. And there's a place up here called Schwabel's. Some people might know of it because it's the top beef on wick, roast beef sandwich here. I talked to the owner, started in the 1800s, this business. He'd have to sell a beef on wick right now at $15. Yeah, I might buy one. Mike, you might buy one. But other people aren't going to do it, so he's absorbing the high meat costs at $6 a pound or better. Him and his wife are working only, and they lowered their hours instead of open up. You know, at 10 o'clock, they go 1 o'clock till 7. And you know what? They're tired. They're burned out. They can't get workers. They can't charge enough to pay the money that it's costing to sell the food, but they feel they don't want to take advantage of the people, so they're trying to absorb it. You're hearing this story time and time again. You know, people went 16, 17 months. They got a little help along the way, but they didn't get enough help. Like, and it's just it's a very tough time in the United States of America.
You know, there was a lot of talk lately with the local stores and all that the PPP should have been continued, not for the fact that they just were giving free money away, but they were giving free money away when you look at it with that expanded unemployment money.
Absolutely.
They should have directed those dollars to PPP and kept the people on the job.
And the workers, Mike, should have got taken care of a little better. And they cannot extend it. They will cripple the United States if they extend our $300 deal. It's just, you know, you're listening to workers. You know, Americans, the fabric of America is the can-do spirit, to never quit attitude and to work. But it's tough on these workers that are working so hard, watching people sit on the front porch having a beer every day. I've got contractors going to houses to put gutters on the house, and there's people watching them all day, and they're like, this is different. Well, they used to be at work, the people. They weren't watching the workers fix their house, right? It's just a different environment, Mike.
It is. It is. And, you know, this is where leadership really has to be leadership.
Absolutely.
And we're watching certain things happening on a national level. which people are concerned about, and I'd like to mention a few of them today. There was a statement made recently, and it offended some people. The statement was, "The buck stops with me." The buck stops with me. One person should never be the person that stops the buck. I think it's time for some new get-togethers in this country to talk about how we spend money, how we talk about money at the ballot box, and how we appropriate money. Yes, we do have the system in Washington, the three system, the executive, but it's something's not right. That but kind of a statement, the buck stops with me.
You know, again, truck driver shortages. I couldn't believe all the stories I heard. I've heard stories. I'm talking day after day. I'm in Alabama, in the back of a truck, I'll give you a $7,500 startup and 70 cents a mile. That's huge money. They cannot get truck drivers. They're bringing them in for overseas. And these new truck drivers, if it's a young kid, they're putting them in a seat with an automatic. If you get a flat tire, they pull over. They don't know what to do. They don't get out of their seat. They just can work the steering wheel and the brake. And, you know, buses, schools, I talked to two local schools here, of course, an old friend that runs the bus garages. And what they're doing, they can't find bus drivers to get the kids home. So everybody in the offices, the administration at school is getting a bus license, and they're getting them a lot quicker than they used to. It used to take 6 months. Now it's like 6 days, right, because they need people. And they do it in four shifts at these two local schools to get the kids back. Because you've got to figure it out. It's math. You got only so many drivers. You got so many buses. You got to run four different shifts at the end of the day to get the kids home at 4 in the morning. This is crazy. This should just be talked on your great show, Mike. This is a national crisis.
You know, 2 weeks ago we talked about the bus driver shortage. We talked about the truck driver shortage. And people said to me, oh, I can't believe this is happening. 2 days later, it was reported on national news. And everybody says, oh, my God, I can't believe it. Well, that's a great way to get American workers back on the job. I said, yes, you're very right.
If you're giving free money away, it doesn't matter to most people,
that's
Mike.
That's correct. Now, did you gather anything in the process where people feel that there's going to be the desire for more people to return to work?
Yeah, you know, in a positive note, talking to many people, and I'm talking to business owners with snowplows, they want to buy snow removal equipment, trailers, because they started their business. I met some young people that fired me up, Mike. They have that can-do spirit, that entrepreneurial spirit. Larkin knows what I'm talking about. And these people, these young people were fired up. I work for a living. You know, they want to buy new equipment. They want to expand. They got that fire in their eyes. So I was happy to see that. That's still out there. We didn't lose it. But they too can't find workers, but they're like three workers in one at that age. So they're just going. Their head's down, they're going, they're building their business. So you love to see that. It's just unprecedented times with the workers. Not even skilled trades, just workers. I couldn't get gas last night here locally after 7 o'clock.
Oh, my goodness.
It blows my mind. I got out a little late. I was like, oh, it's closed down. And I've talked about that, but these gas stations had to close around me because they can't find workers to run them to 10 or 11 o'clock.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Well, I have to tell you this. Last weekend, my daughter, Donna Blihash, was married to Brian Yeager. And boy, it was a great celebration. And I'm looking for great times for Donna and Brian, of course. But I'll tell you, the staff there at the club where they had the wedding and all was really, really unbelievably great. I could see that, you know, they really treat their employees properly. And because of the pandemic, a lot of the weddings had to be changed and certain, you know, venues were closed for 7, 8, 10 months. But one of the things, and we had a great traditional, we threw some Polish celebration in the whole deal. But my daughter always used to tell me, and she's a teacher, she has a master's degree, she's an artist, art therapy, the whole deal. She always used to tell me, you know, Dad, if you want to stay away from bad news, turn off the television and the radio programs that give you the bad news.
Mike, you have to. I got a call from my father. He's 84, uncensored. He's at his house. Didn't think he was breathing well. I brought this little thing I got you put on your finger. He had a 97 blood oxygen. I said, Dad, you're good. But his car, he had no moving, or in the house, he had no moving air. The window's up and nothing running. I said, you got to get movement. And I said, on the other side of that, you got to get positive. You got to go out and do a few things, you know. You got to stay away from that TV because it'll bring you down. Like, you got to get out. That's what I loved about the Erie County Fair, seeing people having fun, kids dripping ice cream on their shirts, watching the fireworks in awe. It was great to see people out, and that's what they've got to do more and more. Shut them TVs off.
Oh, man, oh, man, oh, man. Can we turn to the very, very well-known Mark Andel's best competition, and that is Larkin Conley. Larkin Conley, tell us everything what's new.
I'm not a competitor of Mark's.
Well, you were through SCORE. You were helping to get people into business and you know, to that they would be able to compete with Mark. And you were the master of this for a long time.
I could have brought Sears and Roebuck back to Buffalo, and it wouldn't have slowed down Mark. He would have just set up a deal with him. No, I live in awe of Mark Andel and what he's accomplished, and just wish every major market had a Mark Andel in it, who is focused on what is going to make his environment better, and he stays on that path and goes straight for it. And Mark knows exactly how I feel about him. Michael, thank good you. Morning. And I don't think Rich is on with us today, but and Henry, good morning. Thank you again for making it sound so good, as Mark always says. I apologize for missing a couple weeks. I wish I could give you a good excuse. Short of I slept in, I'm not sure what I can say. But at any rate, I listened to the programs, and I've sat and thought endlessly about this problem. How can the United States of America have 80,000 F-150s, 250s sitting in a field, incapable of starting and operating these assembled cars because of a computer chip? How can that happen in America? I mean, that's really kind of, and I thought, I've talked to a friend of mine who you're all going to meet in a second, endlessly about what's happening here. What actually is happening here? And it ends up being, as we will hear discussed, more than just one problem. It's a cacophony. It's of problems that have all just kind of fallen in our lap, all at the same time. I am pleased to have on a good friend of mine, an importer of some repute. He's imported from the Far East as long as I've known him, owned his own outdoor furniture company, a great entrepreneur. He's very British, but I don't hold that against him. He lives in Victoria, Texas, and he is likewise, like me, a studier of America and its current circumstances and what creates it. But most importantly, I wanted to kind of set the table for a discussion about a more calculated look at what's the problem here and how do we fix it. You know, according to the World Integrated Trade Solution, and I'm not sure of this group, I tried to look them up earlier and couldn't get to them. They say that the United States is the second largest importer in the world. I thought we were number one. But it imports about $3.1 trillion, and that was a 2019 number, and that includes $2.5 trillion in goods and $597 billion in services. So, unfortunately, as we take a look at this, we're going to understand pretty quickly that the United States imports more than it exports. And according to the U.S. Census Bureau, that creates a trade deficit of about $485 $6 billion a year, even though American exports billions of dollars of oil, consumer goods, automotive, assembled cars and automotive parts. It imports even more in this same every one of these categories. So I wanted to talk to, and I'd like to introduce, from Victoria, Texas, the one and only Bruce Bassett Powell. Good morning, Bruce.
Good morning. Good morning to you, Larkin, and Mark, and Michael. It's good to be on with you. I think I've been on at least once before, some years
yeah,
back.
Good morning.
It's good to be here. And Mark, I saw your logo on the Wheel of Fortune last night, and I yelled, there's one. It's Mark Handel. My dear wife didn't
Very good.
Quite understand why I was yelling. But there you go.
Thank you.
And kudos to you for what you do, and it's really great. It's there should be more of it everywhere, but there you are. Anyhow, Larkin's right. We import a lot of stuff here, and we can't go forward in this country if we stop importing. And what's happening right now is that there is a stop or a slowdown of importing, which is going to be aggravated. It's down to, if you think it's bad now, you haven't seen anything yet. And I'll just tell you that I have a client in my consulting business who I help bring in product from overseas, and he's ordered since August of last year, a year ago, he's ordered containers from China and from Indonesia, which have not left those places yet. And here's the reason why. I was on the phone last night with the Indonesian company, and she's sitting with two warehouses full of goods that she can't ship, including ours. The cost of containers is going up so rapidly that I don't think anybody will be able to afford a container. A normal container is $4,000 usually if you're crossing Trans-Pacific to from the Far East to America, and they are running a minimum of $18,000 to $19,000 a container. My client isn't prepared to pay that. So, and the big joke that comes after that is that my Indonesian lady told me yesterday, even if he did pay that, she said it'd be only like 1% chance of actually getting a container. So there's going to be a slowdown like you wouldn't believe. Containers are in the wrong places. Their ships are docked in places where they can't get to containers. And it's and I think, in my mind, the freight companies are now in the realm of soaking people up as much as they can. And this is where, as Michael and Mark and Larkin say, this is where the leadership needs to come in, because come Christmas, you're either going to be paying, instead of a dollar for a Christmas tree ornament, you're going to be paying $8 to $10 for the same Christmas tree ornament. And that's just the smallest part of it all. As Larkin says, there are thousands of trucks. They're not only Ford F-150. There's cars of all kinds sitting parked without the starter chips, which are still languishing in Taiwan. They say they'll be ramping up and getting stuff out early to mid 2022. Even if there was, even if we made a single chip in this country, which we don't, The F-150s will still be sitting there because to make chips, you need a host of precious metals which come from the Congo and other places in Africa and South America. And guess what? Nobody can get them. That's one of the problems they're having in Taiwan, is that they can't get some of the precious metals they need. So it's going to become a problem of monumental proportions come early 2022 unless somebody does something. So I think that we...
Bruce.
Go ahead.
Give us an idea what could be done to end this nightmare.
Well, I believe that, and some of you will go sneering at this, but Kamala Harris, who's out in Southeast Asia right now, has brought up the subject with a bunch of leaders out there, and she was bluntly told there won't be a Christmas this year. I don't know what that means, but I think that she should be coming back with some messages for the leadership in this country that this is happening, something needs to be done. But you talk about not getting truck drivers here. They can't get any truck drivers in Europe. They can't get them in England. They are shutting operations in England like crazy because they can't get supplies. And we're not getting supplies here. That's a contributor to shutting down restaurants and things like that. There's getting food. We have a Denny's here in Victoria, and there's a Denny's in just about every little Victoria in the country, I believe. But I haven't been there in a year and a half, mostly because of the pandemic, but my wife and I went in there, and they had a notice on the door. Here are our new times, at 7 o'clock in the morning till 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Denny's shutting down at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And when we got in there, there was one waiter and a helper. And we stood there for 5 minutes while he tried to think of where to put us in an empty restaurant.
Oh,
he couldn't have that down.
I love that.
He basically asked us how the menu should look. I mean, it was just my wife and I were open mouthed, and it was just an embarrassment. And Larkin and I were talking last night. The local restaurants here that are family owned are going gangbusters. You know, the family's all pitched in, but the chains are doing terribly. Fast food's doing all right, I guess, but. But this is just a symptom. It's a global problem. And there needs to be some, as you say, the press doesn't say a whole lot about it, but the patio industry, which I've been a part of for many, many, many years, is basically saying there will be nothing on the floor come January, February, March of next year. They're already... empty. People who ordered containers in June for delivery in February won't get them till maybe September of next year. And here's another one. You talk about made in America. Sunbrella fabric is 100% made in America. We rely on it for our umbrellas, cushions, you name it. It's a huge supply. It's the finest fabric, outdoor fabric you can get. Their current delivery dates are 60 weeks out. Now, if you're running a patio store, you can forget business next year, to forget selling cushions. How do you do that? Mm-hmm. So this is a crisis that's going to erupt steadily as we go along here.
It's amazing. My wife and I were flying in from Boston the week before last, And as we banked into Jacksonville, my wife said, "Oh my God, look out the window." And I was sitting on, of course, the aisle seat because that's reserved for me. And I leaned in and I looked out the window, and there were no less than a dozen freighters, flat top container carriers, freighters, sitting in the water, just idly, just floating in the water.
There's nobody to unload them.
How is this happening?
Yeah. Yep. And Bruce, I just want to say welcome. It's great to hear your voice again. Bruce, you brought up the shipping containers, and I heard this from the carnival vendors, again, at this large fair I do. It's the second largest county fair in the country. But they had told me they had paid up to $34,000 for a container. And I think it's in line your prices, but even worse. But like you said, and people that had 100 different SKU numbers or models, they might have 10. They're just trying to get some toys here, not all toys.
Yeah,
but the prices,
exactly,
like you said,
right.
you can't even pay it.
No, you know, my client in Chicago, who's got two containers in China ready to go. And two containers now in Indonesia ready to go, and he's not getting them till early next year. I don't know whether that's going to be that wise, but at the end of the day, he's going to get them, and if he pays $34,000 for the container, guess who's going to pay for them?
Right, you got to pass that on. You can't absorb it.
You have to pass that on. And you know, we work with Amazon and Wayfair. I'm on with these people every day too. Amazon, Wayfair, Home Depot on their websites, and they're in la la land. They know that their inventories and their suppliers and their vendors' inventories are beginning to shrink to impossible levels, and they're scared of the public going on Wayfair and seeing nothing on the website.
Right.
Unbelievable.
So there you go.
Bruce, as I see this, the problem has endless number of prongs that are feeding into it. It's transportation, manufacturing, employees, COVID-19. I mean, there's many things that are affecting it. It is just one of these, you know, perfect storms that has hit us all at once. So, and you say, based on what you're hearing from Indonesia, and what you're hearing from your shippers, is that this problem, we're not even seeing the tip of the problem.
No.
Is that correct?
Because, you know, people who ordered stuff in June of 2020 basically are getting it now. But since June of 2020, the thing's metastasized into something far worse. And, you know, you're looking over the horizon and not seeing anything. The Wall Street Journal came out with an article, and some of this is what I prompted me to review the whole thing, is that so goes the patio stores, goes everything else in this country. And they focused on patio stores and the lack of product. Because every patio store brings in stuff that they import.
Yeah, and Bruce, you know I believe red, white, and blue in the Made in America store and mission, but I believe in 50-50 fair trade, and I believe you'd buy most of your product here if you could. You know, but
absolutely.
This problem, though, if the companies within our borders, like you said, your fabric, or if it's Annan Flag that makes my flags, or Valley Forge from PA that makes the American flags, they have a worker shortage. So globally, we've got the shipping container problem, worker shortage, and component shortage we can't get. But within our borders, in Larkinstock for years, we've lost our supply chains. This is a 40-year problem we can't fix in 1 year. So there's a lot to it, but the worker shortage still plays a part in all of it.
Oh, absolutely. Well, it's worker shortages overseas. They're probably drivers who can't drive containers to. I mean, there's all sorts of. You follow it down
everywhere.
And you know, one of my last example I'll give you is that there's a firm in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Many of the workers there are Amish and work very, very hard. They make plastic furniture which looks like wood. It's very heavy stuff. You know, Adirondack chairs and square tables. I mean, it's not elegant, but it's great outdoor furniture, and it lasts forever. They're a domestic company. They produce their products domestically, but they aren't getting the right plastic, and they are such a successful country that at the pre-show that took place just in July, they got $7 million of orders for shipment January, February, March of next year. They can't get $300,000, $7.5 million. They can't get $45,000 worth of goods out a month because of the shortages in various areas. They can't get cushions. There you go.
Yeah,
so
you can't.
If you want to have cushions on your furniture, you either can't or have to suck it up.
And where it hurts me, Bruce, on my general welding side, you can't get that final component to finish your manufactured item. It stops at cash flow, and cash flow is the oxygen of every company. So you can't cash these jobs out. I've got a job I started last September for a utility company, upquipping 8 trucks, but I won't even finish the first one till this September that I can bill out. So I've waited a year. My money sat there and all the components to put into these trucks because I was waiting for the trucks for 8 months. And then I finally got the trucks. Now I got to finish them. But a business, it needs the cash flow cycle a lot tighter than that.
It's a very bleak picture that is painted. And I know that the headlines in the newspaper is Afghanistan number one and COVID-19 number two, or the COVID virus. I'm glad, Bruce, that you tell me that Kamala Harris is over there at least talking to the Far East about the problem and how it can be resolved, if that's in fact what you were indicating. But some, you know, it just gets no attention, and it gets no, absolutely no reporting in the press whatsoever.
It's being dominated by the third ignominious exit from Afghanistan in 180 years.
Yes, Bruce and I have talked a great length
about it. We Brits have suffered at least one of them, and the Russians have suffered one of them. Now the Americans and a few British are suffering the third one.
Yes, British, Canadian, and German support.
That's right.
I wish I could come up with an answer. COVID has to be cured. It has to be brought under control. This talk in Washington about a $15 minimum wage has created a situation where these people that were serving this element of the economy are now out looking for jobs at Buc-ee's and McDonald's. McDonald's got a sign up. They started $12 an hour just to work the line, $12 an hour. Yeah. So as we make that adjustment, people are saying, if I can't find a $12 or $15 an hour job, I'm not going. Hell no, I'll take my $600 a month. And it's human nature. I would prefer to think that I wouldn't do that, but I don't make any promises.
Larkin,
if I were in that situation.
You know, this $600 a month or $300 a month, that's going to come back to haunt this country like we never imagined. I'd like to turn for a minute to our great and unbelievably always on the go guy, Rich Loges.
Hi, Michael, and good morning, everyone. Hi, Bruce. Thanks for coming on today. Really appreciate it. Thank you, and to our listeners. And as I'm listening and taking notes, Michael, and hearing back and forth, all I can ever offer is a solution that I think I can speak relatively intelligently over and or about. And so I have this as a as a suggestion that I spend my days, Michael, talking to people of all differing political beliefs and ideologies, which is that I think the United States would do a collective, an immense service, not a disservice, a great service to ourselves if we all took the time, me included, to get back into understanding the basics and fundamentals of the founding of this country and what the framers really intended. Because here's something, Larkin, that I have really come to discover in the last many years, especially since last year. I have discovered, Larkin, that granted, perhaps for albeit different reasons, your everyday Democrat and Republican and Libertarian and Independent and whatever party they belong to or not party grossly misunderstands the founding of this country and grossly misunderstands the intent of the framers. And so as the further, Michael, that we have strayed from that, the more intense and in severity and in frequency our problems have become. And what the United States is right now is the most utopian first world country than any of us have ever seen, Larkin. I mean, we are living in a literal utopia. You have segments of the country that don't believe that we should listen to doctors and medical staff, and that there's some kind of global conspiratorial cabal. And then you have a whole other section of the country that has decided to entirely revise and rewrite and whitewash all of our history, all of the foundational and framing documents. And then you've got like a third group who are basically the adults. And right now, the adults are wondering where to go right now. So I think, Michael, we would do ourselves a great benefit and service in this country if we decided that we were going to get back to really understanding what it is, what the intent of the Republic and the founders were. And a good lesson to start with is exactly how each of our two major parties, how they define and how they view what freedom actually is. Because what you'll discover, Mark, is that both of the major parties and many of the voters within their bases grossly misunderstand what freedom actually is.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying, Michael, you know, I've taken an approach on to try to be, I've always been an equal opportunity offender. And I knew that one day it would all come back full circle to where I would put both the political parties and many of their voters as an equal opportunity offender, okay, and criticizer, which is not to say that I'm above self-criticism, because I'm not. But you will find, Michael, that in talking to your regular everyday Democrat or Republican or whatever party, we don't quite understand what freedom really is supposed to be. And the further we stray from it, the further we're going to continue to get into this rabbit hole, because the final, in literature, Michael, there's something called the denouement. That's the conclusion. And the denouement of the utopian tragedy is anarchy. The final act of utopia is always anarchy, Michael. There is not a singular exception to this rule in the history of mankind. Humans in all their forms have roamed this earth for 5 million years. There is not a singular example we know of in 5 million years that the final act of utopia was not anarchy. So why is it that so many Americans believe that we'll somehow miraculously, Mark, be the first exception to that unless we reverse it? And you know why? Because in utopia, you don't have to worry about anything, Michael. How are we going to pay for it, Larkin? Who cares? Utopia. No big deal. You know, we ping-pong our kids now in the schools. One wants to wear a mask. One doesn't want to wear a mask. All we could have done in a lot of these states is say, okay, school districts, you make your decisions, what you think is best. No, we didn't do that, Larkin. Why? Because we're in utopia. No one needs to think, Michael, in utopia. No one needs to think. It pays for itself. It grows itself. It funds itself. It heals itself. No one has to worry about it, Larkin. Well, how's that working for us now, Michael?
You know, Rich, people...
You guys just spent 45 minutes confirming that it's not working well.
People in Washington, D.C. were elected to share ideas that would benefit the American people. What happened is they just started to spend money, which is our money, which we're going to have to pay our children, grandchildren, their children and grandchildren, and no one's discussing it. All these things that are happening right before us are going to really hurt the people of the future. In fact, it may hurt to the point where the government will just have to say, there's no way to pay it back, so the big party is going to rule, period. We're going to have to
go socialism or whatever.
Sure,
but Michael, what anyone does about what you just said, the point isn't that you're incorrect or inaccurate. One's level of engagement and activity is commensurate directly with one's belief of how utopian we really are. It is a direct correlation of it, Mark, right? So when you go out to the fair, you meet all these people, you go out to the, you got the buses coming, you got customers come in, right? The question about Made in America comes back to how much of a serious problem does the average person out there think about the ramifications of making fewer and fewer products in the United States? I don't care what the products are. So if you live in a world where someone else will pay for it and somebody else will do it and someone else will this and that, I don't need to listen to this person. I don't have to manage this. I don't need to pay for it. How important, Mark, do you think Made in America, the guy who woke up today saying, man, I'm so excited someone else is paying my bill, I think I'll go buy Wigwam socks today.
You know, Rich, I had, buses are coming back. That industry got killed. I had a good friend, Eric Bateman, call me. He's going to get his another bus. He lost both his buses. Devastated industry, travel industry. But I did have, the buses are back, so in the middle of our no sleep, we shoved 3-4 buses in this past week, and we got 60 scheduled ahead of us. But I had 2 senior buses. One seniors were from Akron, New York. The other seniors were from Great Valley, Salamanca. And these ladies were tough. They were yelling at me like my parents would to get me this, get me that. I met one lady's cousin is the last surviving Case Knives family member. So you meet all these interesting people, but that demographic, the 70 to 90, they get it, Rich, but you're right on the other ones. But, boy, these are the ones that will take their kids by the ear and not let go until they buy American. But we're running out of them.
Yeah, you're right. Oh, Mark, you are so right about that.
Oh, absolutely. I'm afraid of these women. They love America, and they don't know what's going on. You know, they're telling me, Mike, I just went off. I had 5 buses in the last 7 days, too, along with working the fair. You know, we can't say no to a bus, but it's neat. But these seniors, they get it. They're the women that get it, and they don't know where we're going. It didn't matter if they're a Republican or Democratic. They are wondering what is going on.
You know, Mark, were there any help wanted signs at the fair?
Oh, yeah, everywhere. Every billboard here, there's $17, $18 at the gas station. They'll pay you money. You know, throwing money at it don't change nobody. They're not coming off the porch unless they can get the $300 and the $18 not on the books. You know, that generation's gone, too. They just want to sit home. They don't want to do double.
Yep. You know, it was interesting. Bruce, you gave me some good thoughts today because there are so many people that were watching our inventory over the years through our cash register systems, through our credit card system. People, you know, drive here, they buy by phone, over the internet. Everybody knew the inventory as to what is going on. We have to talk about that. And also, yeah. No matter how good a person is today at keeping the inventory, because a lot of the foreign countries keep the inventory of what's moving in America so they can quickly get it over here to replace it. With the COVID, and many of the countries had to close down for some time, all of that changed.
Yeah.
There is no inventory in the system.
No more just in case, just in time.
Just in time inventory went out of the window about 6 months ago.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, that's
great to have you on. Great to hear your voice. Thank you for your education you gave
Bruce,
us.
Bruce, you're the best. You got to come back again. Larkin, it was great to have you here joining us. My God.
Yeah, I'm happy to come back.
Please do come back, and I want to say a special thank you to Bruce Passett Powell. I want to say to Mark Andel, Rich Loges, Larkin Conley, our engineer Henry Chaplinsky. I'm Michael Blihash. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for spreading the word. We talked a lot of common sense today. Please do listen. If you want to listen again, just go to AmericanWorkersRadio.com. Sit back and listen what we're talking about. Are you hearing that in the national news media? My answer is no. Something has to happen to make it change so that we hear it in the national news media. Until we get together next Wednesday at 11 or this Saturday at 11, I want to wish you and yours the very best. Have a great one, all. Best to you and yours.
Have a great week. God bless.